And I think, so Lorraine Nidecker, let's start with her, and then maybe Yamashita later. I'm not sure that I know how I'm going to fit Yamashita into this. But I'm really interested in the question of the European avant-garde and its legacies, because one of the commonplaces, of course, about the European avant-garde is that it did away with the notion of organic form. And so it was supposed to be my next book. It's not going to be the next one after this next one on species extinction, because I got a contract for this one first, so I have to, step on the pedal and do that one first. But the ambition is to re-examine this whole question of how biological and aesthetic form might relate, not only, not in the way in which they relate for Coleridge and Schelling, but how they relate after Darwin, after the discovery of DNA on the scientific side, and how they relate after the avant-garde, So how do techniques like collage, montage, assemblage fit into whatever we might want to conceive of as the relationship between biological and aesthetic form? And so the place I've started there, it's sort of an obvious place, but it was the easiest one to start, is surrealism. Where there is an intense engagement with nature and among the French surrealists with this tradition of histoire naturelle as a particular kind of engagement with science and nature that they conceived of as in part an alternative to normal science, and then the way in which that gets translated along with bits and pieces of futurism to Latin America and the Caribbean. So in one chapter I sort of try to trace that surrealist engagement to Brazilian modernismo in the 20s and to Aimé Césaire and Alain Foucault-Pierre, who really rejects surrealism and thinks that the reservoir for alternative form lies in the biological forms of the New World. I mean, that's what's so striking about the avant-gardistes in the New World, is that that statement that they do away with organic form is really sort of not true there, because on the contrary, they try to base a resisting political stance on the cultural and biological difference of the New World. And I mean, that comes up again and again. Our fauna and flora is so different that European artists can't even grasp it. And so it has to be artists from here and writers from here who really get onto it. And Carpentier leads to, really sort of very violent rejection of surrealism and its entire project, even as he draws on it. And so Nidecker, I think, would be, she's one of the poets that I want to actually look at, along with Cage and then Mary Writing Higgins in the later 20th century. But I mean, what I would say is that I think she's only very recently been integrated into that canon of environmental poetry, right? I don't think she was early. I mean, she's certainly not attained the status of, say, a Snyder or a Merwin or Robinson Jeffers. I mean, it's only, since the late 1990s that people are taking another look at people like Susan Howe, people like Charles Olson, people like Lorraine Nidecker, and saying, well, wait a minute, there is a very sustained engagement here with nature and with natural deterioration in particular that we need to take another look at. So I think that's part of how the field, and Larry Eidner, I mean, there's George Oppen, I mean, there's not a lot of poets that are very experimental and are in a completely different tradition from the ones that I've dealt with here, that are being re-examined, but I think they were not initially received like that, and I'm not sure that Nidecker herself would have described her project that way. So I think that's a somewhat different issue. And then Yamashita, I mean, again, very different generation of writer, right? And something, I mean, I find her interesting in the way in which she does strive toward developing what I would call sort of globalizing form. I mean, she tries to develop fictional forms, in her case, not poetry, that in some ways try to map the sort of global nature, but also global culture. I mean, at least some of them are mostly in concern with society and culture in terms of globalization, but through the Arc of the Rainforest, it's the one that I was really interested in terms of how it tries to talk about global nature. So, but that's a very, I mean, she starts writing in the late 80s, so we're talking also 10 years later. Yeah, and somebody who already sort of grows up with the environmentalist movement as an established presence, which is different from Barry or Snyder or those guys, some old black guys.
We're going to end on that note. Thank you.
It's like, yeah, I know who you are, since I've heard you speak at ACLAs and such. So I know, and I was in Boulder.
It's there. 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 It's